An angel appears at a faculty meeting and tells the dean that in return for his unselfish and exemplary behavior, the Lord will reward him with his choice of infinite wealth, infinite wisdom, or infinite beauty. Without hesitating, the dean chose infinite wisdom. "Done," says the angel, and disappears in a cloud of smoke and a bolt of lightning. Now all heads turn toward the dean, who sits surrounded by a faint halo of light. At length, one of his colleagues whispers, "Say something." The dean looks at them and says, "I should have taken the money." In our study tonight, I want us to consider the significance of wisdom, the source of wisdom, and the supply of wisdom. And you'll find an outline in your weekly news. I've changed the title. We've heard All the King's Men, read to us so graciously by Anne. Tonight I want to focus on the second part of 1 Kings 4 and wisdom and where to find it. First of all, let's notice the significance of wisdom. And there are four ways in which Solomon was particularly wise. The first was the power which he accumulated as he took over the kingdom from his father David. Verses 21 and verse 24. "And Solomon ruled over all the kingdoms from the river to the land of the Philistines as far as the border of Egypt. These countries brought tribute and were Solomon's subjects all his life. For he ruled over all the kingdoms west of the river from Tipsah to Gaza." Now, the borders mentioned here are no accident. They are very specific and they are very significant in Hebrew history because they are precisely the borders God promised to Abraham. Genesis 15 verse 18. "On that day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham and said, 'To your descendants I give this land from the river of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates.'" So the writer of 1 Kings wants to tell us something very profound, that under Solomon, this promise was coming true. The promise had been fulfilled. So someone tells you, the borders of Israel will be from the river of Egypt to the Euphrates because this promise hasn't been fulfilled yet. Refer them to 1 Kings 4. Solomon's wisdom gave him military superiority over the surrounding nations. The extent of his power is revealed in verse 26. He had 4,000 stalls for chariot horses and 12,000 horses. 12,000 horses. If you get to go to Israel, or if you've been, I hope you got to Megiddo. It's an impressive tell or hill, still, even after thousands of years of degradation. It was one of Solomon's principal fortresses. It was like Hazor and Giza. Extensive stables have been discovered, and you can even sit in one of the mangers used to feed Solomon's horses. He had at least 450 horses and 150 chariots in that one location. At least 3 to 4 times the size of our car park would have held 150 chariots. Solomon was not only king over all Israel, but he was king over the surrounding nations between Egypt in the south, Phoenicia in the north, with a desert barrier to the east and the Mediterranean to the west. He controlled the lucrative trade routes that went from north to south, from Phoenicia to Egypt, and east to west, from Egypt across to Asia. That is why we must pray for our prime minister and our government leaders as they respond to Iran's capture of our servicemen. Because wisdom is power. Apparently, we went to war with Iraq with no exit strategy, no plans for the reconstruction of Iraq. They came later, and some would say, too late. The power of wisdom. That was the first gift that Solomon had. The second was the peace of wisdom. It's one thing to exert power, and there are plenty of people who seem good at that. It's another to use power wisely. And the power of wisdom leads to peace. Notice what it says in verse 24. He ruled over all the kingdoms west of the river from Tipsa to Gaza and had peace on all sides. Peace on all sides. This was the golden age of the Hebrew Empire. We talk about Pax Romana, but this was Pax Hebraica. Just think about the fact last week or this week, we're celebrating 60 years at least of peace in Europe. The European community has ensured, however we view the European community, it has ensured peace among our nations after literally hundreds of years of war. The power of wisdom leads to peace and it leads to prosperity. Verses 20 to 21. The people of Judah and Israel were as numerous as the sand on the seashore. They ate, they drank, and they were happy. Every politician wishes. And Solomon ruled over all the kingdoms from the river of the land of the Philistines as far as the border of Egypt. These countries brought tribute and were Solomon's subjects all his life. The wise use of power, political power, leads to peace and it leads to prosperity. Again, the writer is using key words here. The reference to the sand on the seashore, again, is no accident. No accident, because God promised Abraham in Genesis 22:17, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. So again, the writer of Kings is telling us this is prophecy coming true. 1 Kings 4:22-28 gives us an insight into the prosperity of Solomon's reign. Just look at the list of his daily provisions, verses 22 and following. The administration set in place to produce it. It says in verse 27, Solomon's daily provision were 30 cores of fine flour, 60 cores of meal. That's a bit like the euro. We're not quite sure what it's worth. Or the dollar these days. But a core was equal to, wait for it, 5 tons. 30 cores were equal to 5 tons. 5,000 kilos is 220 liters to a core. It was an awful lot of wheat on a daily basis. And then you throw in 10 cattle reared in, 10 cattle reared in, where are we? Shout it out. Thank you. You see, we've got the stall-fed cattle, chickens, isn't it? You've got the stall-fed cattle and the pasture-fed cattle. They obviously tasted nicer. 30 cattle a day, 100 sheep, goats, deer, gazelles, roebucks, and choice fowl. That's on a daily basis. A little later, in chapter 10, verse 21, we learn that all King Solomon's goblets were gold, and all the household articles in the palace of the forest of Lebanon were pure gold. Nothing was made of silver, because silver was considered of little value in Solomon's days. That's pretty impressive, isn't it? Pretty impressive, the prosperity that came from wisdom. And note that this wealth was not built on the oppression of the people, at least not at this moment in time. Verse 25 tells us during Solomon's reign, during Solomon's lifetime, Judah and Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, here we go again, this is another one of the prophecies, lives in safety, each man under his own vine and his fig tree. You can almost visualize them all sitting under their fig tree as the sun sets. The prosperity of Israel. The wise use of power led to peace, it led to prosperity, and fourthly, it led to prestige. Prestige, verse 30 and 34. Solomon's wisdom was greater than the wisdom of all the men in the east and greater than all the wisdom of Egypt. From all nations, people came to listen to Solomon's wisdom, sent by all the kings of the world who'd heard of his wisdom. Just as I showed you that the promises made to Abraham were being fulfilled in Israel, again, the writer refers to the same promises as being fulfilled in Solomon, David's son. His wisdom was greater than that in the east, as well as that in the south. Dale Davis, in his commentary, says how liberating wisdom can be. Wisdom, Solomon shows us, is incurably and rightly curious. His wisdom, as you see in those verses, ranges over the whole domain of God's reign, God's realm, joyfully investigating and describing all God's works. Since God has left his fingerprints of his wisdom everywhere, there is no place God does not furnish us with raw material for godly thinking. I think that's a wonderful expression of what every teacher, I hope, is aspiring to find in their pupils. An incurable and rightly curious investigation of the whole domain of God's realm. That's why Solomon had such fame. Why the kings of the world sent their wise men to listen to Solomon. Another commentator says that an important aspect of wisdom was the combination of acute observation and skill with words needed to compose the proverbs and songs. And Solomon had both in good measure. So much so, besides ruling over an empire stretching from Egypt to Iraq, Solomon found time to compose 3,000 proverbs and 1,005 songs. Notice we know very precisely how many there were. And the book of Proverbs and the Song of Songs gives us a flavor. The wise use of words led to peace, it led to prosperity, it led to prestige. The significance of wisdom, we might say, uncommon grace. But then secondly, notice the source of wisdom. Solomon's wisdom is primarily theological, not political. It's not entrepreneurial. It's not intellectual. Verse 29 tells us, God we'll come to this. Verse 29 tells us, God gave Solomon wisdom and very great insight and a breadth of understanding as measureless as the sand on the seashore. Here we go again. It's another reference to the promises made to Abraham, not just fulfilled in Israel, but fulfilled in David's son, Solomon. Solomon was blessed with wisdom because he knew he needed it. He knew he needed it. Notice what we saw last week from 1 Kings chapter 3. Solomon showed his love for the Lord by walking according to the instruction God gave by his father David. That's why God appeared to him in a dream and why the Lord said, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you. Ask whatever you want me to give you." Imagine God making that promise to you tonight in a dream. Ask for whatever you want me to give you. What would you ask for? What would you ask for if God made that promise? Don't embarrass yourself by telling me. What would you ask God for? You know, there was an occasion about 3 months ago when the European lottery got to 60 million, and I was seriously tempted to buy a ticket. I resisted. I can share this one with you because I beat it. And I didn't win it either. I didn't buy a ticket. I resisted the temptation, the delusion to think, Lord, if I buy this ticket, you're going to give me this amount of money. I can give it to Tier Fund. I can build our extension. All the rationalizations I had for how I could spend 60 million. I trusted that that was not God's will for me. So I didn't buy one. And I hope you didn't too. but ask for whatever you want me to give you. This is how Solomon answered, verses 8 to 9. Your servant is here among the people you've chosen, a great people too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? Notice that Solomon doesn't ask for wisdom. He doesn't ask for wisdom. He doesn't say, Lord, make me wise. He says, I can't cope with the job you've given me. Help me to distinguish right from wrong. That's what wisdom is. It's discerning right from wrong and having the courage to do the right thing. To serve God and his people and distinguish between right and wrong. That's all that Solomon asked for. But God was so impressed he gave Solomon his request. But he threw in what Solomon hadn't asked for. Wealth and honor, verse 13. And for good measure he adds, 1 Kings 3:14, if you walk in my ways and obey my statutes and commands as David your father did, I will give you long life. It's not much point having wealth and honor and wisdom if that goes with a short life. Solomon asks for moral discernment, the ability to discern right from wrong. God calls that wisdom. I think that's a pretty good definition. Moral discernment of right and wrong and the courage to choose what is right. Jim Packer, in his book Knowing God, says this, wisdom is the power to see and the inclination to choose the best and the highest goal, together with the surest means of attaining it. It's the power to see and the inclination to choose the best and the highest goal, together with the surest means of attaining it. So don't ever think that wisdom is about intellectual knowledge. It's not about being smart. It's not about knowing a whole lot of stuff. It's about knowing the right thing and doing it. Now, isn't that what we try and teach 3-year-olds? 4-year-olds? That's wisdom. God gave Solomon wisdom because he asked for it. And he also gave him wealth and honor and his people peace and prosperity as a result. And he capped it all by saying, if you obey me, you will live a long life as well. Because that's the trouble, isn't it? It was only if he obeyed God would he be blessed with these gifts. You know the time when you're most likely to stumble? The time we're most likely to stumble and go astray is right after God has blessed us. Right after God has used us. The time I stumble most is after I've preached, or after a fantastic service, or an opportunity to serve the Lord. It's ironic, isn't it? Blessing so often leads to blunders because we take our eyes off Jesus and we put our eyes on what we've done, or what he has done in and through us. 1 Kings chapter 4, which we've looked at tonight, at the beginning of Solomon's reign, we see him enjoying unparalleled power. His father, King David, never experienced this kind of power, nor would any later king of Israel. Because it's sobering to realize that from 1 Kings 4 onwards, it's downhill virtually all the way to Babylon and Assyria. 1 Kings and 2 Kings present a virtually monotonous slide downhill as Solomon's children, his grandchildren, and successive kings lose the plot. They lose God's blessing because they trust in the very things God had blessed Solomon with. Power, prosperity, peace, their prestige, and not the Lord God Almighty who had given them. And what did they suffer? Exile and slavery. Just take Robert Mugabe as an example, a contemporary leader who lacks godly wisdom and his people are suffering starvation. And it doesn't seem as if we have enough godly leaders around the world who will do something about it. Here are some verses to meditate on before you go to bed tonight. Psalm 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Proverbs 9, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Proverbs 15, verse 33, the fear of the Lord teaches a person wisdom, and humility comes before honor. I think we get the point. The fear of the Lord, the right respect of the Lord, leads to wisdom. Let's recap. The significance of wisdom, an uncommon grace. The source of wisdom, an undeniable grace. And then lastly, the supply of wisdom. Solomon lacked wisdom. He asked God for moral discernment, and God provided it. Many times we read about saints in Scripture, and it can seem as if God's work in their lives was unique, unrepeatable. So the principles we usually draw are only general, not specific. But in this case, it is not so. Through the Apostle James, God promises you and me what he promised Solomon. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. When he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. Let's say that verse together, the first verse. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, and gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. How does God give? Generously. What does God give? Wisdom. On what basis? The promise of God. Any conditions? Yes. Verse 6. When we ask, we must believe and not doubt. James 1, 5-6 was one of the first verses I memorized as a young Christian. I used the Navigator's Scripture Memory System. It's the only advert tonight. The Navigator's Scripture Memory System. It's still the best, and I commend it to you. You get these little cards, you write the verse out, you say it three times, you read it three times, and then you say it without looking at it three times, and if you've got it, it's in your short-term memory. You say it once a day for a week, and it begins to get into your mid-term memory, and then you get once a month, and it's in your long-term memory, and then you pick up the next verse, and so you go on. I commend it to you. The Navigator Scripture Memory System. Those of you who know me well enough will know I continue to need to pray those verses, because I need it, and I suspect you do too. Why don't you take some time tonight on the back of the sheet to put down some areas of your life where you need wisdom, and make that your prayer, believing that God will provide. Divine wisdom brings power. It brings peace, it brings prosperity, and it brings prestige. It did for Solomon, and by God's grace, it will for us. Dale Davis, in his commentary, observes, Yahweh has heaped up fulfillments to his promises under Solomon's reign in this chapter. All this explains the joy, he says, that oozes out of the text, for gladness grips God's people whenever they see how firm God's promises are. He tells a story about Franz Josef Haydn, who was setting the music to the words of the Mass, the Agnus Dei, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And he says he was so seized by the uncontrollable gladness, he had to apologize to Empress Marie Theresa over it. He explained that the certainty of God's grace had made him so happy, he could only write a joyful melody for somber words. Now, some people complain about our songs being too jolly and joyful. The certainty of God's grace, the certainty of God's provision of his wisdom does that to us, doesn't it? Faith cannot help but laugh when it sees the fulfillments of God's word. We've seen over half a dozen here in 1 Kings 4. When it becomes reassured over Yahweh's assurances. This text is ecstatic over the faithfulness of God. It should stir us to joy and to trust him to provide the wisdom Solomon was given for our day today. The significance of wisdom, the source of wisdom, the supply of wisdom, uncommon grace, undeniable grace, unconditional grace. Let's pray together. This is a prayer from William Bright, written about 400 years ago. O God, by whom the meek are guided in judgment, grant us in all our doubts and uncertainties the grace to ask that you would have us do, that the spirit of wisdom may save us from all false choices, and that in your light we may see light, and in your straight path may not stumble. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.